Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
It's a beautiful thing to be a part of a congregation when you say kids are dismissed and half of the room gets up and leaves, right? Oh, I love it. I love it. So I was thinking a lot about names yesterday. If I rolled up my sleeves, you'd see a sunburn on this arm. You'd see a sunburn on this arm, and it would stop about right there. You'd see a sunburn from here to here. I don't know if you can, you might be able to tell a little bit. But I took my son, you ready for this? To the UGA football game yesterday. Now listen, Oklahoma State is still my team, but we won't talk about the whooping that they got yesterday. Don't even look it up if you haven't seen the whooping that they got. But we won't talk about that. But it's so funny because behind me was a woman that brought her two daughters to her first game. And so they kept asking questions about how things work. And so she would say it, then I'd lean over to Lucas and say, this is what's going on. Because I would just hear the woman behind me tell me what's going on. It was great. It worked out really well. But he kept saying, now, what's their name? What's their name? What's their name? What's their name? And I just kept making things up. If I couldn't see it, I'd say, you know, well, that's Joe. That's Bill. But I kept just thinking about the names of God, right? The names of God. These past few weeks, that is what we've been focusing on, right? Different names of God. And we spoke about Elohim, our creator God. We spoke about Adonai, our master God. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty One. A few weeks ago, we spoke about Jehovah Nissi, about the Lord being our victory. And thank you again for those banners that we had. I loved that, the flags. And Jehovah Shalom, God is peace. We've loved digging into these names, and we've been receiving beautiful feedback from all over. It's really cool because we've even received feedback from other places around the world. It's really, really neat. But these are not just fancy names we can call God when you just want to add something cool to your prayer, right? But I do encourage you to do that, because it's a beautiful way to add to your prayer life. But these are not just names, but they are characteristics of a holy God that you and I get to serve. That you and I get to serve. And this morning, we're looking at another name of God, Jehovah Mekodishkim. This is one of those that, if you pronounce it, I'm going to say, yep, that's right. Yep, that's right. Or Mekodesh for short, meaning the Lord who sanctifies. The Lord who sanctifies. This name of God is first mentioned actually in the book of Exodus after the Israelites were instructed on building the tabernacle and making the priestly garments. The necessity of keeping the Sabbath holy was so important even while carrying out this special task. And if you're one of those that you read through the Bible in a year, you get to this point and you're like, oh, I gotta read this too. I gotta get through it. You talk about how everything is made and there's measurements, but it is all a part of God's plan, is it not? But Exodus 31, 12 and 13, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am Jehovah Mekodesh, who makes you holy. Who makes you holy. So the Sabbath was to be a sign between the Lord and Israel, which would serve as a perpetual reminder to Israel of their separation to God. Every week they were to be mindful that Jehovah was indeed their sanctifier, their provider. He was their provision, who alone could empower and enable the realization of living holy in an unholy world. Even then, they were called to live holy in an unholy world. And Israel's part was to demonstrate that they were mindful of their dependence on Jehovah's sanctifying power by doing no work on this holy day. So we know that in Exodus, God redeems his people from bondage, right? And in Leviticus, a book of holiness and worship, we see that God sanctifies his people for service. We read where Jehovah Mekadesh shows a redeemed people how they should live a holy life. Leviticus is a book explaining the walk and worship of a people already redeemed. The name Jehovah Mekadesh is used 7 times across 3 chapters. And if you look at Leviticus chapter 20, and this is another book that when you're going through that reading plan, there's a lot to read in here. There's a lot to get through. But Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8, these two verses say this: consecrate yourselves and be holy. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Or in the original language, it said, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I love how the Message Bible says it: set yourselves apart for a holy life. Live a holy life, because I am God, your God. Do what I tell you. Live the way I tell you. I am the God who makes you holy. So holiness was a lifestyle God wanted for his people. In fact, the major theme of Leviticus is really one word. It's holiness. God gave Israel many rules regarding food, childbirth, cleanliness, skin care, ceremonial rituals, ... Each time the phrase is given to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And in a few cases, they end like this: for I am the Lord who sanctifies them. God still wants his people to be holy. If you've never heard that before, you're going to hear it today. God still wants us to live holy lives. This is not just something we read in the beginning of our Bibles. He wants us to be holy today. So what does God mean when he revealed himself to be Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies? What does it mean to live a holy life? What does it mean for God to sanctify us? We talk more about holiness, right, than sanctification. It's a big word. We don't talk about it enough. But I said that to someone this morning. I said, but we're going to talk about it today for sure. Can we be holy in today's world? The word that is used here in the name Mekadesh means to consecrate, to prepare, dedicate, to be holy, to be sanctified. The primary meaning of the word is to set apart or to separate. So sanctification or holiness kind of has 2 parts: to set apart from sin and to set apart to God. Unfortunately, we often focus on the first part and ignore the second. So we're going to look at both this morning and see if we can come to a better understanding of what it means to be holy in our daily lives. So as God's holy people, we are delivered from the power of sin over our lives when we accept Christ into our life. You are justified by grace through faith. The Holy Spirit enters your life. You have been saved. However, There are still the everyday desires that we must contend with, right? How cool will it be if we got saved and everything's perfect, right? But that's not the case. It's not the case. There are everyday desires that we have to deal with, and we must ask God to help us fight those. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." There we go. You know, the thing is, many of these desires are thought to be normal today. And that's crazy. But I guess it is the world we live in today. Sexual addictions, witchcraft, hatred. There's nothing normal about this. All of these are acts of the flesh. I mentioned a few weeks ago that these are the types of things we're fighting the most in our minds. And the worst part is that we're keeping it to ourselves. We're keeping it to ourselves. We must be actively setting ourselves apart from these desires. And if that means you have to pony up and tell a friend about your deepest secrets or addictions, then make the time to do it. Our very own Dr. Ian Mudge, he's not here today, he's looking after his sick child. He says this from a recent Southern Spirit article. "We need to confess our sins. Without confessing and accepting God's forgiveness, we can never be holy. Confessing to God is an excellent first step, but as a counselor," he writes, "I know the incredible power of confessing to another person. Many of us are afraid to reveal our true selves to others. We are afraid of abandonment and rejection. This is another key indicator of shame. There is power in confessing to another person, recognizing that our shame does not define us, and being received with unconditional positive regard. For those of you with few people you trust, I recommend seeking out a counselor. Share your shame with them and feel the liberation that comes with confession." I was reading, actually, I hadn't put the bow on the sermon yet, but I was scrolling through social media and I came across this. I said, "Ooh, Ian, Dr. Ian, thank you." And I agree with this. Find someone if you don't have someone. And if you don't have someone, my name's Chris. Nice to meet you. My name's Chris. There's a somewhat familiar song called "Grace Alone." Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we can make is only by His grace. Every mountain we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, every blessing left behind is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. I love that song. Once we realize this, once we realize that we are all sinners and it is by grace alone that you are still walking this planet, that's when true sanctification begins. Your present sanctification is a process. These are the daily events, moment by moment. It is the present tense of, okay, I've been saved, but now I am being saved. I am being saved. We are humans, yes. We're going to make mistakes, yes. But we can't sit around waiting for the mistakes to happen and say, "Oh, it's okay, because God's grace is going to cover it." We can't come home from a hard day's work and pick up our phones to scroll some inappropriate site and say, well, God's going to forgive me afterward. It's okay. You know, I can't get through this test, so I'm just going to cheat this once, but I'll ask God's forgiveness after. Friends, that's not holiness. It's really shallow Christianity at best, but it's not even that. It's not the gospel message. God's grace will be there when you fall, of course, but strive to live a holy life by walking in the way of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says, "You will not gain holiness by standing still. Nobody ever grew holy without consenting, without desiring, without agonizing to be holy. Sin will grow without sowing, but holiness needs cultivation. Follow it. It will not run after you. You must pursue it with determination, with eagerness, with perseverance, as a hunter pursues his prey." Are you pursuing holiness today? Are you pursuing holiness? The thing that got Israel in trouble was the fact that they followed the patterns of the people around them. There were terrible sacrifices of children to the god Moloch. They consulted mediums and sorcerers. They worshiped other gods and turned away from Jehovah God. All of these things were acts of the flesh that finally ended in the judgment of Israel. The point of these examples is to show that although Israel had all the right religious rituals and ate all the right foods, it was what was in their hearts that defiled them and destroyed them. It was not because they didn't do all the regulations exactly and perfectly that God judged them, but rather for listening to other voices, doing what those around them told them to, not listening to his commandments and not trusting him to be their all in all. How many of us fall into this dangerous trap? We do what we've been taught to do. We pray, we read our Bible, we go to church, we care for others, but our hearts are out of sync with God. Christ must be everything to you. That means you mean what you believe. You walk the walk. You talk the talk. And it's genuine. You're going to hear me quote a lot of songs from our songbook. And I am very unashamed about that. But what about this one? "I bring to thee my heart to fill. I feel how weak I am, but still to thee for help I call. In joy or grief, to live or die, for earth or heaven, this is my cry. Be thou my all in all. Christ is all. Yes, all in all. My Christ is all in all." Hallelujah. God has told us that he is the one who will make us a holy people. He will show us how to live a life of holiness if we will simply let him. He will show you that separating yourself from sin is not to take away your pleasure, but instead to protect you and keep you safe from the corrupting power of the world around you. Friends, Christians can have fun, okay? Goodness. I always say, "Oh, I don't want to be Christian because they're not fun." I think we're fun. Well, I'm fun. Talk about myself. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." You see, here's the key to why we should be separate from sin. Sin wages war with our soul. If you are human, then sin will wage war with your soul. If we choose to live a life full of fleshly desires, there'll be no peace in our minds or emotions. Now, I know that we have an enemy who constantly wages war against us. But when we are living a life separate from sin, we take away a large part of his power over us because we don't give our flesh to his control. We got to stop giving the devil ammunition. We say all the time, well, the devil made me do it. Stop it. We give the devil way too much credit and control over our lives. If you're giving anyone control, give it to God. God gets the credit. I love our 10th doctrine. We believe that it is the privilege of all believers to be wholly sanctified, and that their whole spirit and soul and body may be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This, of course, is based on 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, which says, May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, Jesus is coming again. Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming again. And adding verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. He will do it. This is not on you. You are not doing this. You are not doing anything. God makes you holy. God sanctifies you through and through. As we move from being separated from sin to separated to God, I'm so glad that our message is not just one of not being able to do certain things in life. That's what religion is all about, right? But you can't do this, you can't do that. But instead, the real power of the message comes from the fact that God wants us to be separate unto Him. If only Israel had understood this truth, they could have spared themselves from years and years of hardship and destruction. But Vine's dictionary says, God calls people to belong to Him and to serve Him in the world. He sets believers apart, granting them access into His presence, bestowing upon them forgiveness, freedom, grace, and favor. We are now beginning to see the real value of being separated as a people to God. He calls us His people and gives us full access to His presence. We have full access to His presence day and night. That should get you excited. A holy God who created us, for whom we have the opportunity to spend eternity with, gives us full access to His presence. Elohim gives you access to His presence. Hallelujah. Both the reason and the goal of all God's ethical requirements is His own holy character. As His followers, we should be holy because we should reflect His character. He is our Father. He has created us. He has chosen us as His own. Therefore, we should be like Him. Also, we should be holy because He is determined to make us like Himself. That is His goal in saving us, that we should be holy and without blame. God has given us His very nature in our spirits so that we can be a holy people. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, it says His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God doesn't want us to be destroyed by our fleshly nature, but instead gives us His very own nature to share so that we can overcome the flesh and the enemy. God wants us to be restored to friendship and fellowship with Him, to restore the image that was lost through sin. To be separate to God is much more important than to be separate from other things. As God's people are separated to Him, we become more and more conformed to His image, to be the person God intended us to be. He wants to transform you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Into His image. Holiness in God's people involves grace It involves righteousness, integrity, peace, and mercy, because these are characteristics of the God who has redeemed us and whom we serve. We don't simply serve any God. Unlike the ancient Greeks we read about in Acts 17, we don't serve an unknown God. We don't have a plaque up here that says, to an unknown God, right? We are not ignorant of the very thing we worship. We serve a mighty God who sent his Son to die on a cross for you and for me. For me and you. That we'll have eternal life in heaven one day. He is Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. And the sanctification is a journey. It begins with salvation and ends with glorification. And we're coming to a close here. But I was listening to Bill Ury speak the other day. He said this, and I love this. He said he's intrigued by the argument that one can say you are justified by faith, but not sanctified by faith. He went on to explain how audacious the first claim really is, being justified by faith. I'm justified. I was dead in sin, and Jesus, the resurrected Christ, redeemed me from my sin. He's brought me from death to life, but I can't say I'm sanctified. If you can truly say you are justified by faith today, then you need to be saying you are sanctified by faith too. We must be pursuing holiness. Being sanctified is Emmanuel. Being sanctified is God with us. The God of creation, Elohim, chooses to dwell with us. Our life should be a life of sanctification. One of being purified and cleansed, being made holier every day. So let's heed the words of Paul in Galatians 5. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Let's live our lives separate from the sin of the world around us, but separate to the holy God. We get to serve in a life of holiness. We're going to sing a song in a moment. It's an older song. Holy Spirit, come, oh come. All the guilty past is washed away. From its penalty, I'm free. Holy Spirit, now thy might display. Lead me on to full salvation. Holy Spirit, come, oh come. Let thy work in me be done. All that hinders shall be thrown aside. Make me fit to be thy dwelling. In that second verse, it says, come, oh Spirit, come to sanctify all my body, mind, and will. Come, O come, and self now crucify. Let me henceforth be like Jesus. Friends, I invite you to this place of prayer. We call it the altar. We call it the mercy seat. If you really want to go back, let's call it the penitent form. Whatever you call it, I invite you to come kneel in his presence. If you're listening from home, or maybe you're in your seat right here, you also have the altar of your heart, right? That we can kneel at the altar of our heart. But it's a place to meet God. It's a place of consecration. It's a place of renewal. Will you come this morning to be in the presence of Jehovah Mekadesh, the one who can, and the one who wants to sanctify you through and through. If you're struggling with your holiness journey, I want you to come today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to come today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today. You know, tomorrow never comes, right? Because tomorrow it'll be tomorrow, then it'll be tomorrow, but come today. Pray this morning that God would transform you from the inside out so that you'll start to lose the desire for the world's way of doing things. You won't even think about it anymore. Let's all make a commitment today to align our lives with God. Will you come? Will you come? Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am Jehovah Mekodesh, who makes you whole.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.